Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you joining us again today for our excursion into the book of Zechariah. We are in a wonderful section of emphasis on the Word of God. And before we enter into a more prophetic section, specifically about the coming king in chapter 9, it's just as if God is saying to Zechariah, "My word, my word, my word, my word, my word is what you need to stabilize you, to encourage you, to secure you in these dark days." And verse 9, right on theme, so Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built." So God has given a bunch of promises in verses 1 through 8, but now he's giving a command. He's giving a specific word of encouragement. So, hey, guys, so be strong. You know, work hard. Have a good attitude. Because all of what I've said is true, and this is going to happen. Just like you laid the foundation, the temple's going to be built. So these are words of encouragement from God. Be strong. It reminds me of what God said to Joshua when Joshua was kind of like worried. Moses is gone. I've got these people. I've never fought these battles in the promised land. Jericho's big. Hey, be strong and of a good courage. And what's interesting is just as God has affirmed to these people his presence, that he affirmed to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong." So same kind of template.
Yeah, and it has that, as you were referencing the first part of the verse, you know, once again, he says, "Thus saith the Lord." And you think about that encouragement that there is in that God has continually met their needs throughout this process. They're in the process of rebuilding that temple again, that second effort to rebuild the temple. And once again, God comes with a message time and time again, keeps stating that, hey, this is my word, I'm in control. And because I am, and because as we talked about in the previous verses, because I am returned, because I am dwelling in you, that you can be strong. And so if you just told the people of Judah when they arrived, it's like, hey, just be strong. And Zechariah just told them that person to person, that wouldn't be too much of a help. But the fact that it's coming from God, the same God that is there with them, that has returned, it has that authority behind it, that those people can be encouraged.
So God says, "I know it's been hard." Verse 10, "For before these days, there was no hire, no wages for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the infliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor." In other words, I called you to a job where you're being opposed by your very neighbors, the Samaritans and others. "But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts." In other words, it's not going to be the same now. I want to encourage you. The job's going to get easier. You're going to see the blessings begin to mount up. "For the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase. The heaven shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things." So God says specifically in verse number 12, "I am going to do the things that only I can do." So think about what he's promised. He's promised there to be fruitfulness. He's promised there to be rain. He's promised there to be growth. Well, these are organic things. You know, we can build buildings. You know, we can do tasks, but we can't make photosynthesis happen. Yeah, see how I whipped that out there? Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it? We can't do the things that God can do. So think about it. God's rebuke to God's people was in Haggai was, hey, your crops aren't growing, your money's not gaining interest, the rain is not coming, you're working hard, but you're getting less. And remember what all that was about? God was saying, I'm touching your agriculture. I'm touching your economy because you're not building the temple. But now God says, it's not going to be that way anymore. Now that you're obeying me, now that you're working, I'm going to make your other stuff that you've been struggling with, I'm going to make that a blessing. So the crops are going to grow and the fruit's going to come, and I'm going to bless you because you are prioritizing me.
Wow. Yeah, and it's almost as if God is saying, here's your task. Here's what you're supposed to do. You control what you're supposed to or what you can. You can control your decision to rebuild the temple. And as you do that, all these things are outside of your control, all these things that you can't make happen yourself, I'm going to take care of those things. Those things are something that, as we said, you can't decide what kind of weather there's going to be, or you can't decide, you know, you can certainly try to help, but ultimately if the plant's going to grow, if it's going to produce its fruit. And so God said, because you have your priorities now aligned, I'm going to bless the other aspects of your life, and those things that otherwise you could not do, I'm going to do for you as a blessing for what you've done for me.
And we're not saying, listeners, that God's blessings are always going to show up economically. Mm-hmm. You know, the health, wealth, and prosperity people want to say, hey, just obey God and you're always going to have your bills paid and things are always going to work out well and you're always going to get rich. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Some of the greatest people in the Bible were people that suffered great economic loss, people like Job or people like Paul. So we're certainly not saying that. On the other hand, I think sometimes in our zeal to downplay that kind of prosperity, we forget that God often does choose to bless economically in response to our spiritual obedience, whether that be a Malachi chapter 3, where God says specifically, hey, I will bless you as you prioritize me first in your tithes and offerings. So let's not downplay either what the Bible says, and that is that we ought to be honoring God, we ought to be prioritizing his work, we ought to be putting him first, and then when we do those things, very specifically, all these things, Jesus said, shall be added unto you. So what a great promise that God's blessings come as a result of our obedience to his word.
Yeah, and sometimes we just need to stop for a moment and consider again that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's all from God, and he is the one that blesses us. And so in our efforts to live for him, we also need to not forget what our source is and those things that we're blessed with.
So the imperative here is be strong, be encouraged, keep working. I'm blessing. I'm with you. I'm blessing you. I'm strengthening you. It's not going to be like it was. Look at verse number 13. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. Ye shall be a blessing. Fear not. Let your hands be strong. See the theme there. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. So it would be very easy for these people to live in their past. It would be very easy for them to say, you know, we blew it, we disobeyed God, and God said he'd punish us. And boy, when God said, wait for me in my bedroom, he meant it. And we got that spanking. And boy, when God says something, he means it. And so there can be this over-ripened negativity and feeling of defeat. Like, wow, we did wrong and God punished us. And wow, we could have been here. We could have had this nice temple. We blew it. And what God is saying is, no. Okay, you can't change your past. And I did say that I would deal with you, and I did deal with you. So my word is true. But listen to what I'm saying now. What I'm saying now is, I am going to bless you. Okay, and I am going to complete this in you. So trust the word that you think is so negative, because I told you I was going to judge you, and I did. And you see, God keeps his word. Well, then be encouraged by the fact that God keeps his word, because the same word that I gave you, it said, I promise you, you're gonna be punished for this. That same word I'm giving you now, I promise you, you're gonna complete this. So let that word encourage you.
Yeah, and the thing I think about is your past doesn't define you. Sometimes we go through seasons where we make poor decisions, or maybe we haven't prioritized God, and we've not lived the way we should. And that's not to say that we're going to be absent from those consequences or results of the bad decisions we've made. But regardless of the past decisions we've made, we can still live for God today. And that doesn't go unseen or unnoticed by God. And God still wants to bless us. And so these people are deciding to take a moment, stop, think about what they did. The past decisions we made weren't good, but we're going to reprioritize God in our lives and rebuild this temple. And God says, I'm going to bless you for those things.
Let me read verse 15 again. So again, have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. That's such a great example of what God has promised you and me. God has said, I have begun a good work in you. I will perform it. God's thoughts toward us are not evil. They're good. And God wants to bring us to a place of completion. And so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the circumstances that God has allowed in your life. Romans 8:28, he's using them for our good, for his glory. Don't be afraid of where God's leading you, how God's teaching you, even the ways that sometimes God has to chastise us. All of it is in the scope of his will for our final completion. And that ought to be an encouragement to you today. Hey, we'll do our best next episode to wind up this chapter. Hope you'll join us for the ride. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.